Radio Prague News.
Public rallies were held in Prague and Brno in support of the sacked justice minister. The state of human rights worsened in the Czech Republic in 2011, the Czech Helsinki Committee reports. And the 47th Karlovy Vary International Film Festival kicks off on Friday. More than 600 people gathered in the center of Prague on Thursday evening to protest the unexpected dismissal of Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil earlier this week. More than 200 people attended a similar rally in Brno. Among those present were former Constitutional Court Judge Eliška Wagnerová, the leader of the Green Party Ondřej Liška, Judge Vojtěch Cepl, and the head of the Czech branch of Transparency International David Ondráčka. The unprecedented show of public support for a dismissed cabinet minister is related to broad disbelief regarding the official reasons given for his sacking. The prime minister, who cited mismanagement and budgetary issues as the reasons for Pospíšil's dismissal, is suspected of having acted under pressure from powerful interest groups who fear an anti-corruption crusade launched by the Prague State Attorney's Office. The former justice minister was sacked with unprecedented speed just as he was about to decide on the appointment of a highly respected prosecutor to the post of Prague High State Attorney. The state of human rights worsened in the Czech Republic in 2011, according to a report released on Friday by the Czech Helsinki Committee. The report cited government austerity measures impacting seniors, the unemployed, and socially weaker families as a factor. Also underlined are an apparent drop in the integration of Romani children in schools, a rise in the number of attacks against gays and lesbians, and overcrowding in prisons. The committee's Anna Shabatova told the media that regarding austerity measures, the worsening was not just in the cuts themselves, but in apparent disinterest on the part of politicians. She stressed that, in her view, an awakening of civic society in the country was one of the few positive developments in the country last year. President Václav Klaus on Friday named Major General Petr Pavel the new chief of the general staff of the Czech army, replacing outgoing Vlastimil Picek. The new head officially takes up the post on July the 1st. General Pavel has outlined as one of his main priorities the need to uphold the Army's current level of efficiency. June 29th marks the last day that Czechs were able to change their health insurance company or face an 18-month delay. Due to an amendment to legislation on health insurance firms, clients after Friday will have to wait until 2014. The health ministry says it wants to prevent what it called insurance company pseudo-tourism, whereby firms pay large sums to try and reel in other firms' clients. The 47th Karlovy Vary International Film Festival kicks off on Friday evening with a gala ceremony at the spa town. At the ceremony, British actress Helen Mirren, the star of such films as The Queen or the British TV crime series Prime Suspect, will be honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award. Mrs. Mirren's latest film, The Door, directed by Hungarian director István Szabó, will be screened at the festival on Sunday. Over the course of 9 days, some 200 feature films will be shown, 22 of which will be world premieres. Turning to sport now, 26-year-old Czech tennis player Lukáš Rosol stunned the tennis world on Thursday, ousting world number 2 Rafael Nadal in the second round at Wimbledon. Rosol, ranked 100th in the world, defeated the 11-time Grand Slam champion in 5 sets. Rosol impressed with 65 winners. His win was described as both inspirational and electric by various news sites. Turning now to the weather, the weekend should see mostly clear conditions as well as the beginning of a heat wave. The public has been warned to brace for record-breaking heat in the coming days. Highs on Saturday are expected to reach around 34 degrees Celsius. On Sunday, they are expected to go even higher, up to 36 degrees. I'm Jan Wellinger, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name's Christian Falvey. Many thanks for tuning in. Today, Czech officials are apparently content with the outcome of this week's EU summit. After that, we'll have the news from the week in business. And later on in this week's arts, we talk to Rudolf Mazach, founder of the long-running jazz festival Jazz Bridge. All that and more coming up in today's show, so do stay tuned. At a two-day summit in Brussels, which ends on Friday, EU leaders agreed to set up a joint banking supervisory body to oversee banks in Eurozone member states. They also approved a plan to boost growth in the bloc and agreed on a roadmap towards fiscal union in the Eurozone. Czech officials, who initially expressed concern over proposals that the new banking authority should also supervise banks in countries outside the monetary union, seem content with the summit's outcome. Jan Richter has more.
Ahead of the EU summit in Brussels, Prime Minister Petr Nečas said Czechs would not throw a spanner in the works of the Eurozone, although some of the proposed measures could present a considerable risk for the Czech Republic. Mr. Nečas was talking about plans to establish a European banking supervisory body, which some officials, including the governor of the Czech Central Bank, thought could weaken the position of the national supervisor. But the summit decided that the planned banking authority will only supervise banks in Eurozone countries, which for Czechs will not change the status quo, despite the fact that nearly all Czech banks are owned by banks based in the Eurozone. An analyst for the Czech branch of the Raiffeisen Bank, Pavel Mertlík, explains that Czech banks are already under de facto supervision by both the Czech National Bank and the financial authorities in the countries of their mother companies.
For example, in our case, Raiffeisen Bank, our key investor is Raiffeisen Bank International in Austria, which is supervised by the Austrian Financial Sector Authority. And the supervision also tackles the development in the Czech chapter of Raiffeisen SA. And this is common practice for today. So if there are no big differences in the regulatory principles of the new future common supervisory authority and the current practices of the national supervisors, and I don't think that there could be any, because it's all based on the Basel rules, which are uniform elsewhere. So I don't think that this is a really big difference.
Leaders of 27 EU nations also agreed to use the Eurozone's rescue funds to bail out struggling banks directly, without having to go through the budgets of the individual states. That should help lower the borrowing cost for some of the troubled Eurozone members, such as Italy and Spain. The summit also approved a 120 billion euro pro-growth package, including a 10 billion boost for the European Investment Bank, to which the Czech Republic will contribute 76 million euro. In another significant move, the summit backed a plan to create a European Treasury, which would have an authority over the budgets of individual Eurozone countries. The 10-year plan should put in place tighter rules and foster a fiscal union in the Eurozone, a move championed by German Chancellor Angela Merkel.
Jan Richter there. This is Radio Prague. And coming up next on our program, a look at the week's developments in business and finance, for which I'm joined by Daniela Lazarova.
The Czech Republic has corrected the system of drawing money from EU funds and will send the proposed changes to Brussels, the Regional Development Ministry has said. Earlier this year, the European Commission suspended the payment of subsidies due to faults in programmes, and it will be up to the EC to decide when the payment of subsidies will be renewed. If the European Commission does not renew the payments by the end of this year, the Czech Republic could lose tens of billions of crowns from EU funds. A ministry spokeswoman told the Czech press agency on Friday that they believe that by making the changes to the system, the shortcomings in question will be removed and payments will be renewed, but it cannot be ruled out that the European Commission will ask for additional information or that its officials will make a mission to check the situation.
The Czech Republic's external debt grew by 33.7 billion to nearly 2 trillion in the first quarter of 2012, amounting to just under 50% of the gross domestic product. According to the Czech National Bank, the growth was pulled primarily by changes in government and banking sector positions. Year on year, the external debt increased by 192.1 billion crowns. External liabilities with an original maturity of more than 1 year accounted for 71% of all liabilities. The central bank says the rise in external debt of the government sector was due to issues of long-term government bonds on foreign markets. The corporate sector's debt accounted for 27.4% of the Czech Republic's total external debt.
Meanwhile, Czech households' indebtedness to banks and financial institutions grew by 3.6 billion from April to May and by more than 54 billion year on year in May, reaching 1.128 trillion. Debts of companies rose by almost 34 billion year on year to 963 billion in May and more than 9 billion higher than in April. One-day household deposits at banks and financial institutions posted an 869 million crown rise between those months, with a year-on-year increase of nearly 74 billion. Household deposits redeemable at notice, including time deposits, dropped by 10.4 billion year-on-year to 331.9 billion in May. The central bank makes public the statistics as part of its monthly monetary survey based on balances of financial institutions that include the central bank, commercial banks, branches of foreign banks, money market funds and credit unions.
Prime Minister Petr Nečas told journalists on Friday that the impacts of the economic growth and jobs creation measures agreed upon by European Union leaders at Thursday's summit in Brussels will be limited. Without specifying an amount, he said the Czech Republic could also receive part of the money earmarked for the measures. The support may go to small and medium-sized companies, which could receive funding in the form of loans from the European Investment Bank. EU leaders have agreed they will raise the investment bank's capital by 10 billion euros, which will enable the bank to grant loans worth up to 60 billion euros, for example, for support of innovation. The measures are part of a growth pact that has not yet been approved by the summit as a whole.
The board of the Czech National Bank cut interest rates by a quarter of a percentage point this week, bringing the benchmark two-week repo rate to an all-time low of 0.5%. The main interest rate has been at 0.75% since May of 2010. Four members voted in favour of the rate cut, while three voted to keep rates unchanged. Interest rates in the Czech Republic are among the lowest in the region. The basic rate of the European Central Bank, which applies to all Eurozone member countries, is 1%. Analysts believe the rate should stay at record low levels at least until the end of 2012 before increasing.
Many thanks to Daniela Lazarova. To those of you who may just be tuning in, thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. And as always of a Friday, here's a fresh edition of The Arts, prepared on this occasion by Jan Wellinger.
Today's guest in The Arts is Czech-German composer and conductor Rudolf Mazac, who heads a big band orchestra dedicated to the works of Stan Kenton and other jazz greats. In 2004, Rudy Mazac founded Jazzový Most, or Jazz Bridge, a festival bringing together international musicians in selected Czech and German cities. The festival returns to Prague next month. In our interview, Rudy talks about the lineup this year, as well as the initial idea behind the long-running project.
The first Jazz Bridge, Prague to Munich, took place in 2004 to celebrate the entry of the Czech Republic into the European Union. The Prague concert was broadcast live by Czech radio station Vltava. Then, at midnight on the 1st of May, German radio Frankfurt broadcasted direct from the Mahnes, Veni, via satellite to all German-speaking nations.
Today, many Czechs are more critical of EU membership than they were when the country first joined, and you could say, or it's quite clear, that it's a difficult time for the Union as a whole now due to the Eurozone crisis. So my question is, do you think at this particular moment some might view the slogan of the festival from Prague to the EU with a touch of maybe irony?
Festival, like this festival, it's cultural projects with some political background. And we have to make more projects like this, more concerts.
So basically, it's a bridge in the sense that it brings people together.
Yes, you're right. Absolutely. That's the vision.
Now, musicians or artists who are taking part this year will be performing, I understand, in three cities or towns. Which are they, and are they the same as last year?
Every year is different. In this year, 2012, we play in Prague, Hluboká nad Vltavou in the castle, Dresden, Stegen am Ammersee in Bayern, and maybe also in Munich.
And Hluboká is a new addition, correct?
Yes, yes.
Could you tell me a little bit about, say, how much you're looking forward to that performance? It's a wonderful castle. It's an historically important site.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know this castle. We are very happy to play there into festival South Bohemia Jazz Festival. It's two festivals, and we work together, Jazz Bridge and South Bohemia Festival. We play in the open air.
Let's talk about some of the musicians who are taking part. As a conductor and composer, you're going to be leading the Kenton Mania Big Band, which celebrates the work of jazzman Stan Kenton.
Yes.
And my understanding is that this is a big band with a twist, that rather unusually you have 8 French horns, which is more than would be in a regular orchestra. Why is there such emphasis on the horn section?
Because I am French horn player. And in the 60s and 70s was Stan Kenton, one of composer who included French horns in his orchestra. And his music was very progressive and classical big band and so. But my idea is to perform a big band, not like revival Stan Kenton, but it's just inspiration to mix French horn sound with the sounds of big bands. 5 saxophones, 5 trumpets, 5 trombones, 5 main rhythm, and so.
And what kind of character or emphasis do the French horns add in terms of the sound?
Yeah, that's a good question. French horn is unusual instrument for jazz. It's for my mission in my young years when I was student. I did study classical French horn playing and also jazz. It was my mission to put this sound of French horn group like in symphonies from Brahms, Beethoven, Wagner and Bruckner, put this sound group of French horns group into big band sound. And this arrangement is like in the middle, and the sound of Kenton big band is sometimes very softly colorful and big in the speaking of the music. And we play swing, rock, jazz, funky, ballads, and all styles.
That leads into my next question, which is, what are some jazz classics or standards that you perform? I know that on the internet that you play Louis Armstrong and that kind of thing.
Absolutely, we play, singing also My Funny Valentine, also standards, new arrangements, and new compositions. We have a lot of the jazz legend as our special guest, like Bobby Shue or Claudio Roditi, Don Menza, Dusko Gojkovic, Kim Nazarian from York Voices, Jay Ashby, trombone player from Dizzy Gillespie All-Stars Band. And this year we have our special guest. His name is Omar Kabir. It's Indio. New York player, trumpet, very, very good player, and beautiful trumpet, virtuoso.
Last year you issued a Best of Jazz Bridge, which mapped the festival from its beginning in 2004 until 2010, and as well there was a re-edition of a CD for Kenton Mania, a big band. Will there be a similar launch this year?
Maybe, maybe not. I have not so much money like before. Always the same problem.
Talking about the difficulties of money, one of the attractive things about this festival for audiences is that it's free. How does the festival pay for itself as well as for the performers?
The best financial help, I became support from Deutsch Tschechische Zukunftsfonds, or the Česko-Německý Fond, Minister of Culture of the Czech Republic, the City of Prague too, New Town Hall Prague, Universitätsklinikum Karl Gustav Karus from Dresden, Czech Tourism, Mane Holding, and Stegen am Ammersee. This festival was and is in a very short time very famous in Europe, in States, and so and so.
So you think that it is a festival that has caught on not only in the Czech Republic?
It's so half and half, but I can say it's very hard to work to make one festival without many famous. That's always the problem. But our festival is very special, with very special soloists and very special sounds. And yeah, we have time. We are so young. The best musician from the jazz scene here, they play at me. And they are very happy because my dramaturgy of the big band and festival is very interesting. The musician, Czech musician, like to play in my big band.
Now, you personally, I've read, divide your time between Munich and Prague.
Yes.
What is it like being home effectively in two places?
Yeah, it's very, very nice feeling because I'm driving still on the bridge between Prague and Munich, where I live there and in Prague also. And I speak German. I have a lot of friends, jazz musician, classical also. You know, the jazz music was for the people in the communist system in the 50s, 60s, 70s, a music to make us, people and musicians, much free. We don't need to talk about this communism system, but it was like a religion.
Sounds from the Jazz Bridge Festival there, and organizer Rudolf Mazach ending that edition of The Arts by Jan Wellinger. Topping off our show now for today is the next edition of our language learning series, The ABCs of Czech, brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
Hello and welcome to the ABC of Czech, in which this season we explore Czech vocabulary related to Czech food and cuisine. Today I'm joined by
Zuzana Durčáková.
And we'll be looking at dairy products.
Mléčné výrobky.
Dairy products are an important part of Czech cuisine. Milk and dairy products used to be strongly advertised and also subsidized by the communist regime. There were even institutions called dairy bars.
Mléčný bar.
Where you could buy and consume fresh dairy products like milkshakes,
mléčný koktejl,
and ice cream,
zmrzlina.
Or you could buy a sandwich and wash it down with a glass of milk,
mléko.
There was a ubiquitous slogan which said,
zdraví sílu najdeš v síru.
You'll find health and strength in cheese. So you will have guessed that cheese is
sír.
Processed or soft cheese is
tavený sýr.
Hard cheese is
tvrdý sýr.
A typical Czech or Central European dairy product is
tvaroh.
It does not have a direct equivalent in Western cuisines. Sometimes it's translated as quark or cottage cheese, sometimes just fresh cheese. It is what you get when milk gets sour and gets clotted. It can be spread on a slice of bread with paprika or other seasoning. Also, it is used to soften certain types of dough, or with sugar, eggs and raisins, it can be used to garnish
koláče,
which are typical Czech round cakes. The diminutive of the word tvaroh is
tvarůžek.
It means the same as the diminutive of the word sýr, or cheese, which is
syreček.
The dictionary translates it as a small round curd cheese, sharp tasting and strong smelling. The most famous brand is
Olomoucké syrečky,
also known as
Olomoucké tvarůžky.
Produced near the town of Olomouc, they are really very strong smelling, and I recommend you try them when you come over. Cream,
smetana,
is also important in Czech cuisine, especially to make various sauces. Meals are often prepared
na smetaně
or on cream, like, for example,
králík na smetaně.
Rabbit on cream. And that's all for today. Thanks for listening. Until next time.
Dobrou chuť.
Bon appétit.
That was Pavla Horáková with the ABCs of Czech, wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. Don't forget that this program and every other is available at our internet address, radio.cz. If you have any questions or comments, we are always happy to hear them. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook or Twitter under Radio Prague, or of course with a good old-fashioned letter to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, thanks for listening.